from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I mean, if you're willing to get in the end zone, you might as well score. We ain't trying to kick field goals. We want to kick PATs. So that's just the mindset we're going to it. And like I said, we're trying to score every time we get down there.
That's Bills rookie receiver Keon Coleman after his first training camp practice. We are live from St. John Fisher, Jeremy White, Jody Biasi. Coverage of Bills training camp is presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it, and brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. Good morning from St. John Fisher, and sitting with us now, Pete Quelly, COO of the Buffalo Bills. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks for sitting down with us. Thanks for taking a few minutes. We talked business stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to talk football, we could do that too. Like, did you have a highlight yesterday you liked a little more than the rest?
Since I saw about 3 seconds of practice yesterday, I'm probably not the right guy to ask.
How'd those 3 seconds go, though?
Great. You know, the fan response and the fan interaction and the fan experience was fantastic yesterday. Yeah. So that's what I was paying attention to.
It's been a long time here at St. John Fisher. It's funny, like, I was joking with Joe. I'm the old guy on the show now. Howard was here forever. No, I'm the old guy. And I can think back to being on this field 20 years ago. Yeah. I've covered about 20 training camps. So you coming back to St. John Fisher, we talked yesterday. You were part of the original team that kind of envisioned this. Yeah. Did you envision all of what the NFL training camp experience has become? Because it's come a long way in, you know, 10, 20, 30 years.
No, only because when we rolled in here, it was a couple of flat practice fields, and that was the extent of it. You know, we were lucky. Fisher was going under this whole capital improvement plan and said, if you bring camp here, you can participate in that. And we got our football ops people involved, and they are the ones that really kind of envisioned this, and you can see what it is today. What I'm most proud of is just how it stood the test of time. You know, we built this great camp, had a great response to it, and then you come back. I've been gone for 15 years. You come back, and you see not only is it as good, it's better than it was before, and it's still, from a fan experience standpoint, from a football ops standpoint, it still works.
Yeah.
And I was with Coach McDermott yesterday for breakfast, and he loves it. Loves coming here. He thinks it's great for the team, great for him to get away. So proud to look back and think about, hey, this is still working today.
Yeah. I mean, coaches, players, I feel like there are a lot of little starts to football season, OTAs, mini camps, but this is where when the team gets together for the first time like this for 24 hours a day, basically, and then there's no break. Like, the season has begun, you know. There's the league year, but this is really the start of the year.
Yeah, I love it for football and for the fans. On the football side, it's great. Anytime you have new faces and you're trying to integrate them into a team and do the bonding, the things that get your season off to a great start. But in Rochester, to have the fans have the first look at how your team is coming together and then roll into the season, that's a special opportunity to just participate in something like that. And you can just tell by the turnout. You know, we the tickets are gone the minute that they're made available. And, you know, we've even opened up things, you know, up in Buffalo. We've got the blue and red coming up.
Yeah.
And we opened up the upper deck this year because there's been such a great response at camp. We wanted to make sure anybody who couldn't get here at least has the chance to go there.
Yeah. I'll be at that. My family's going. We're excited.
Good.
Chief Operating Officer Pete Gwelly of the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres sitting with us. All right, let's get to some stadium stuff. Let's go there first.
Just before that, I got one thing.
Oh.
You mentioned that you were gone for 15 years. I just want to know what it's like to know Michael Jordan. Because you, of course, worked with him closely.
All right, yeah.
It's as cool as you think it would be.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, the first time you walk in and meet him, obviously it's a little bit intimidating. But once you get to know him, wonderful guy, great leader.
Yeah.
Obviously, from a business perspective, understands brand as well as any athlete in the history of sports. So working with him was a really enlightening growth process, and I've taken everything I've learned from there. I spent 10 years there, and then I went to the Giants for 5, and I'm looking to bring all that experience back here. But, yeah, he's as amazing as you would think.
Yeah. You'll have any time the question comes up, who's the most famous person in your phone?
Michael Jordan.
That's an easy one.
He's going to win that competition.
Who's in second place?
Right now, based on how his kind of – he's ascended post-career, is probably Eli.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Yeah.
Work really closely with Eli in New York, and he's everywhere.
He's having a
He's having a glow up.
A glow up.
The Manning cast. I mean, I find the Manning cast to be tremendous.
I agree. You know, when you have an asset like that, I hate to use that word because it sounds, you know, kind of insensitive, but he's such a resource. You know, winning 2 Super Bowls there and doing it in New York and bringing him back to be part of the organization. You could create all these unique platforms. So, again, like, you know, what's our opportunity to do those kind of things here? That's what I've been looking at.
Yeah. Pete Gwelly. Okay, so the stadium. We had a chance to tour it, walk around. It's progress every day. I find the timelines to be a lot of fun. Like, here we are at training camp. By the time Bills fans get to the home opener, you know, if you're listening from far and wide, wherever you may be, maybe you're not driving by the stadium and seeing the construction on a daily basis, where are things right now, and what's the timeline as the season coincides with the building of the stadium?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because the only one timeline I'm concerned with is be ready for opening day in 2026. But it's even since you guys were there, how much has gone up, how much more steel, the precast is in now. We got to get you back because when you walk in there, it absolutely feels like a stadium. You can start to get the sense of what it was going to be like. And this whole, you know, built for Buffalo mentality that you don't want to lose that home field advantage and you want to make it even better if you possibly can. I think when you come in and you see how close everything is to the bowl and to the field, you'll start to get that sense. Our construction guys, you know, they're conservative, but the phrase they use is comfortably on schedule. They feel good about where we are. Every day you can see things kind of going up. We had a tour there last week, and it's moving so quickly. I think when fans come to the stadium this year, they're going to be very surprised. They're going to obviously have a great view of what's going on, but they're going to be surprised where we're at. So I would never say I had a schedule, but feel really good.
And you posted a picture yesterday of the Buffalo skyline from the stadium. I know there are spots in the stadium you'll be able – it's high enough up because it's got much more of a profile than the current stadium, which is further into the ground.
Yeah, I mean, that stadium is as high as the top of the lights in the current stadium, which it's kind of hard to even wrap your head around that.
Yeah.
So different height, different pitch, great views from everywhere. And I think people are having a state-of-the-art facility like that in Buffalo. I think people are going to really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating just like to think about the different experiences. And people ask me on the tour, like what we saw. I just think so many Bills fans that go to the current stadium are going to be blown away. They've seen this in other places that, you know, the 360-degree walk around, see the game from the concourse. Like, that's just – these are 50 years' worth of advancements going into a new stadium from the old one.
Yeah, and all the different entry points now, so hopefully it's a little bit easier, the access to the upper level, all those different touches that make you feel, hey, this is a Buffalo-specific facility. I think people are really going to enjoy that aspect of it. And, again, you know, I don't think – when I left here, the conversation was about whether the Bills were going to be in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I think we're all pretty confident. Right? We've answered that question now. So not only are we going to be here – we're going to have the state of that facility that I don't think most people could have predicted would be there.
Filling that stadium, price points, PSLs, you know, the process as it goes along, it's clearly a lengthy process. And I feel like Bills fans are finding that out as well, because maybe you are still waiting for your stadium experience tour to find out. How is that going? What's the state? Is a percentage of season ticket holders you guys have been through? Does everybody know their timeline at this point, or should they know?
I don't think everybody knows it yet, and I think, you know, it's hard. Right? It's easy for me to say be patient, but I had to come in from the outside looking in. I didn't really set this up, so I'm going to come in and evaluate how things are going. And now that I've dug in, I understand the process. It's a little bit of a top-down strategy. There's some clubs that you needed to look at first to see what the audience might be for those. I can tell you that all the club levels that we've gone on sale with have performed very well. The Founders Club, so ostensibly sold out. We've held back some seats for some need that we know we're going to have. The East Club, very, very close. And we just went on sale with the Field Club, which is that really unique experience right by the field where the players come out. Never been done before here. That's moving briskly, too. So then we'll start moving to the bowl from there, and that's when people will start hearing from us. You know, after going through it, the one thing I do feel confident is there is going to be a price point for everybody that's been there. So everyone will get an opportunity to participate.
You know, going through something like this where you're trying to fill a stadium and also kind of reseat people, because I understand one of the reasons you have to do it this way is because the experiences are so different, the seats are so different. Everywhere you can't just say, I'll take the state in the current stadium and put it over here. There might, however, be a line to walk there because, I don't know, are you hearing from any fans that are not feeling left out but frustrated or feeling that they want more information, and at the same time you're trying to make that experience personal to every single season ticket holder?
Yeah, and the building's got to be full, right? So there's a cadence that you need to go through to make sure you're in the best position to sell that building out, because that's going to create the environment in the experience that we want. So, yeah, we're sensitive to that. I'm making sure that we're having conversations every week, that we're getting to people, that we're communicating at a high level, and we're going to give them the opportunity to be part of this thing. I don't think there's a perfect answer. Anytime you open up a new stadium, these kind of dynamics exist. So how do you move through them as transparently as you can and put people in the best position to feel like they got the great opportunity to be part of this? We're trying to do that. I can't say it's perfect. It's never going to be perfect, but that's something we're focusing on.
It's a massive undertaking.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's big, yeah. It's obviously we've got legends in there. It's too big for any one person. I went over there to talk to the Legends crew. I go over there every couple of weeks just to, you know, let them know what's going on from a team perspective, make sure we're aligned on everything. And people just kept coming out of offices. Yeah. This is a pretty big group we have over here, so I don't know that we would have had the bandwidth to do it that way. And so you need someone to help you with it, and we're just trying to make sure whatever they're doing is in lockstep with what we want for our fans.
That was one thing that jumped out when we took the stadium experience tour, was the peek behind the curtain and a door opened and there's hundreds of people that are just working. Oh, this is, you know, around the clock kind of operation, and it's the 3-year runway, and, you know, you're of course thinking about opening day.
Yeah. It's a massive project, and obviously the ticket aspect is just one piece of it. You talked about stadium development and everything else that's going on around there. And then what's the long-term vision for that campus? You know, I think ultimately we want that to be a destination, so we're still in the beginning phases of that as well.
What's the status of the giant buffalo? I got to ask that. People get mad at me if I don't ask.
Yeah, I don't have an update on the
okay.
giant buffalo.
All right, fair.
But, you know, we know, again, that's the kind of thing you need to have some kind of character built into this, so yeah. It makes sense.
Is there a timeline you guys want all the ticket PSLs and, well, beyond that, I mean, just, you know, having everybody through before the stadium opens?
I think we're trying to give everybody a solid 18 months to make a decision
okay.
on what they want to do. I feel like that's a reasonable time frame. It's again, it's hard when you're going through that much capacity and trying to roll it out to everybody, but I think it's important to give everybody a window. They're going to get it.
And what about the current stadium? Because next year will be, you know, if everything stays on plan, like you said, that it'll be the final season at a stadium yep. that's been this team's stadium for 50 years. Is there anything, you know, special planned or that might be in conversation about next season?
Yeah, I mean, nothing that I can disclose at the moment, but we have a whole group of people in the building right now focused on that aspect of it, because I agree 100%. A lot of great memories in that building. They need to be celebrated. You need to close it out the right way. You need to transition into the building the right way. So we are looking at that. And, you know, I was here for a number of those years and know all the great things that have happened here historically. So we want to make sure that we're not losing that in the process.
Pete Quilly, Chief Operating Officer of the Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Sabres. Okay, on to other things fans want to know about. When we said we'd have you on, helmets. People want to talk about red helmets and uniform stuff. And it's also timely today because the Jaguars just announced the new helmet. They're going to go with a white helmet with their current logo. So uniform stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, where are the Buffalo Bills when it comes to deciding they want to dip into some more, I don't want to necessarily say exotic, but
yeah.
third jerseys, alternate jerseys, different throwbacks, different arrangements. How are things in that department?
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously, I can only say this for probably not much longer, but I haven't been here that long yet. That's definitely on the list, something that we're talking about. I'm a uniform guy, probably not unlike most of the fans. I've been through this process. I just finished up a five-year uniform plan for the Giants that culminated this year with the 100th season. Yeah, obviously, it was in the NBA where, you know, uniforms are a big part of the strategy there. So those are things we're absolutely going to talk about. I don't have any great updates for you, but, you know, based on my background, I think it's easy for people to assume that we'll take a hard look at that. And one thing I do know, it's got to be a fan-centric approach. Like, if you're not authentic and it's not organic, it doesn't work. So how do you get feedback and kind of understand what fans are interested in? So anything that you do, it fits what they think is right for their team.
Having been in the NBA and the NFL worlds here, do you, just as an opinion, feel like the NBA is at the cutting edge here? Because the NBA is loose with this stuff. Mm-hmm. The NBA is way outside the box. We've seen baseball go there, too, with the City yeah. Connect jerseys. In the NFL, it seems like they're just starting to kind of, you know, loosen up a little bit in this department.
Yeah, I mean, I love the NBA approach. It just gave us, it was so much more fluid. You know, if you could dream it up, you probably could execute it. And it just gave us things every year that were interesting to our fans. I think, you know, you can go too far as well, where it just kind of burns out and then maybe nobody's even interested anymore. But, you know, we went through that transition from the Bobcats to the Hornets, and it was amazing bringing that brand back. But we had to evolve the brand, and then we started looking at how do we find other opportunities. A lot of those changes came through uniforms and different brands that we rolled out, and they were incredibly popular with the fans. So I like the way the NBA does it. You know, some of it's kind of the scale of the NFL is so massive, the partnerships are so big, the business is so big. You just have to be a little bit more thoughtful when you do it.
There's also fewer games, too, right? Like,
yeah,
you have 41
right.
home games in the NBA. I don't know how yeah. many games you would have been using those uniforms for, but, you know, you could have seven different uniform combinations. You could see everything more than once.
Yeah, and I think what we try to do is package them up. Right? You didn't want it to
sure.
feel like, hey, this is a one-shot deal. Let's make sure if we're going to roll these out, we're going to use them for a certain number of games, that there's promotional and advertising strategies around it. They're tied to some other fan-centric opportunities. And you're right, it's a little bit tougher in the NFL. You don't want to pull the uniform out, wear it once, and then just put it in the closet. So how do you accomplish that here, considering the number of games? So they're just different factors, completely different business, but it's definitely something that you should be looking at on a consistent basis as a team.
With regard to the Bills and uniform stuff, I don't remember the latest rules. Can you just add a helmet?
No.
That's not allowed?
No, you can't really just add anything. You know, there's protocols that are in place, and then there's a time frame, and there's a lot of oversight by the league when you do anything. So you got to
yeah.
start these processes a couple years out.
Yeah, one of the things in terms of oversight from the league that we learned, this kind of gets back to the stadium tour, is that when you design a stadium and you're going to build it, the league has to approve it for television.
Absolutely.
And something that I you know, I don't know how many people, how many fans know that, that, hey, we built this giant palace, and the league looks at it and says, like, the TV cameras aren't in good enough spots. Change this, change that. Make sure we get – because television, of course, is king for the league.
Yeah, and when the field and the way that the, you know, lower bowl is built, because if it doesn't show up the right way on television, it could be an issue. We went through those same things in other leagues. You got to TV test everything to make sure it works. But, yeah, that's part of it being a big business. You know, the television – is critically important to our model, so it's got to be considered in every decision that you make.
On the Sabre side, roof is done?
Roof is basically done. A couple of minor pieces to put in place, but, yeah, basically done.
It's brighter.
Yeah, it's, well, you know,
I can see it.
Yeah. Is it just the roof? Like, will it look any – it won't look any different from the inside?
It won't look different, no.
Okay. The scoreboard will, though.
Yeah. Scoreboard will. It'll look different because it's twice the size of the old scoreboard to start with higher resolution. So when you walk in there, you'll notice a significant difference from the old scoreboard to the new scoreboard. That's exciting because, obviously, with hockey and the replays are important, and sometimes it's tough to pick up some of the things that are going on the ice. So I think it's even more important to have a great scoreboard and a great experience for the fans. I'm glad that that's in process and it's going to be ready. And everything on schedule should be up first week of September.
First week of September. They ship that in a bunch of boxes and trucks, and the team puts it together? Is it
you're not far off.
Jigsaw puzzle?
You're not far off. You know, the old scoreboard's down, and there's a bunch of components on site that they bring in, and then they start that construction process. It is a piece-by-piece process.
Is the old scoreboard just get broken down piece-by-piece too?
Yeah, I can't tell you. I know exactly where the old scoreboard's going right now, but I don't think there's any further use plans for it.
Gotcha. Okay.
I mean, sell pieces of it, I guess, if you
sell pieces of the scoreboard?
Like turf. You sell turf.
Yeah. Is there any – like, the arena comes up, too. We get asked about that a lot. Future – I don't want to say to use the words renovations, but more work done at the arena in the future beyond the roof and the scoreboard. Is that in talks at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the exciting things about coming back, so to be able to participate across both teams, you know, in your home market. And I'm just as excited about the Sabres. I just think there's a ton of upside there. There's a lot of things we can do at the arena. Obviously, we think the team's kind of ascending, and bringing Lindy back is hopefully going to kind of unlock the potential. But – the fan experience is something that we're looking at right now. So we're definitely going to take a hard look at the building. How is it set up? You know, what's the experience from the street to the seat? You already know the scoreboard's in place. What other aspects of that building can we look at to improve on it? I walked in there, and, like, I love arenas. I spent 10 years in Charlotte, and it's, you know, we had 41 basketball games, and then we had a number of other events. Same thing here, right? We've got the Sabres. We've got the Bandits. There's a lot of events going on. There's a lot of reasons for people to come downtown. Ultimately, we want to get back to that building, be a catalyst, and bring people into the area and be, you know, the one thing that helps turn the economy in Buffalo around, because we think it can be the catalyst for that. But it starts with the building, creating a great experience, making sure when you come, whatever you come for, you're going to come back.
Yeah. Your journey, I mean, we've talked about it with the Hornets and the Giants. You almost feel like the Giants and the Bills, so you've got the NFL experience already. Is it feel like, because it's 41 games, it's an arena experience, like, I know the product that you're actually there to watch is different, but how similar, I guess, is it? Like, when you're going about, you know, everything else?
It's very similar. You know, that's why, as we were going through the process and I was talking to Terry about the opportunity, I thought I could contribute across both franchises and help put a plan in place for both. And, yeah, the models are the same in a lot of ways. I think the key is that building great experience and as active as humanly possible. So make sure it's a great experience for Sabres fans. That's the priority. But everything that goes into the building, how do you program it for 200 nights a year so there's reasons for people to come there and to come downtown, and see how then that everything kind of builds from there. What's the economic development that potentially comes out of that? We did the exact same thing in Charlotte. They built this arena. It was kind of languishing for a while, but then, you know, the team started to come back. We started to program more. Next thing we know, the entire Uptown Charlotte area built out from the arena. So it's a similar mindset here.
Pete Quillet, Chief Operating Officer of the Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Sabres. That's about it for me. I was going to ask you about the Guardian caps, which I've seen a few players wearing them out there, and there's a photo going around of the Chargers have the logo on it, because these caps can be worn in games this year. So, right?
We may start wearing them around the office. It's getting, we got a lot of stuff going on. People are running around. We're trying to get things done for two teams. So, sometimes there's some contact.
Yeah, I might need some. I've got three young ones at home, so I'll take one of those. I need a helmet. I can throw stuff thrown at me all the time. Pete, thanks very much for the time, and best of luck this season.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Pete. We'll get a break in. Joe Brady just spoke with the media. We might play you some highlights of that when we get back. Jeremy and Joe from St. John Fisher here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.